If you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew 26, and let's read verses 36 to 43. Jesus, our Lord, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and see what the Lord might say to us tonight out of this passage. Matthew 26, beginning at the 36th verse. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. God bless his word to us. I circle that word, "this cup." May this cup pass from me. May this that I am about to drink, to experience, pass from me. The cup that we drink in life. For Jesus, it was that which was the main reason he was born on this earth, was that he would live faithfully for the Father and do as he saw the Father do and see people's lives dramatically changed through his power to forgive sins and heal the body and deliver from demonic oppression and possession. And Jesus, in that faithfulness, comes to the point where now the overwhelming of the experience he's about to have, he says, is making him deeply sorrowful and troubled. So some reaction he's having is becoming so severe that he feels that he must enter into prayer in a greater intensity and personal way than perhaps in any other of his experiences of prayer. And so he really wants Peter, James, and John to stay awake with him, and they are tired and weary without knowing exactly what hour of the night it was. They fall asleep. So in a sense, Jesus feels even a greater loneliness perhaps, but he keeps his focus on what he's really to do and what is about to happen, and he doesn't really let anything distract him from it. In fact, it just becomes his total focus and all-consuming passion. And so this cup represents for us what the Lord would do in our lives now, that for us at times may seem troubling and may seem to be of heavy, weighty matters, and yet in that sense feel privileged that you are honored by God to be considered able to endure and go through things that will accomplish the will of God. Sometimes I've found myself praying in recent years, "Lord, even if I don't know at the moment, if I don't know at the time you're doing it, give me your will for my life. Lord, I believe I know your will in ways and in terms from the scriptures. But Lord, specific things and things that would end up making me more fruitful, more productive, more fulfilling of what you desire in my life and And for me to be responsible for, Lord, let your will be made known, even if I don't know at the time that you're doing it. We have that trust in the Lord. We have that peace in God that it's great to serve Christ. It is great to serve the Lord. Even in these moments of such suffering for Jesus, he would not tell you in a moment that he wanted anything but the will of the Father. I want nothing but to please the Father, he said on occasion. He proved it. He remained faithful. He stayed focused. It was his total objective. I am going to please my Father. I thought tonight, you know, number one, sometimes we just sense that we must get alone and pour out our hearts to God. That Jesus set an example for us to follow in this sense. If we feel overwhelmed at times about things, that it's just shown to us by our Lord. You just draw into a place of prayer and get on your face before the Father and see what he will do to strengthen you and help you on through it. I don't believe it's written here in Matthew, but in one of the Gospels it says at the end of this experience, angels came and ministered to Jesus. Wow. And of course he did receive the will of the Father, and he did receive the strength from the Father that he needed, and he was able to be faithful, and he was able to hold true. Now God is the same for you and me. He'll be faithful to you. You can hold true. You can hold steady. There is strength in the name of the Lord. He is our refuge and our strength and our mighty tower. He is our strong and mighty tower, our help in the time of need. Amen. Think of how much grief families would have been spared if Dad would have just, instead of giving in to temptation, and would have been faithful to seek the Lord and hold on to God and see the Lord touch his life instead of giving way to drink or cursing or fighting or hurtful things in the family. How much grief children would miss if Mom and Dad might humble themselves and pray and pray together for God's mercy and grace to help instead of holding bitterness and separating and so on. And we just need to overcome times of temptation. We need to overcome times of weakness by just casting ourselves upon the mercy of the Lord. And I wouldn't call Jesus weak, but I would call him troubled because it says it. I would call him sorrowful because it says it. And so he could have those like feelings and that you would have. And he says, come on now, come with me, and we're going to get alone with the Father. Come with me, and we're going to press in. And then something really struck me in verse 39. It says, going a little further, he fell on his face in prayer before the Father. He fell to the ground with his face to the ground and prayed. That phrase, going a little further, going a little farther, said something to me. Of course, for him, it meant that he went as far as he had to go in order to be ready to go to the cross. He went as far as he needed to go in order to press in until peace came to him, that he was able to drink this cup and he was able to receive the will of the Father. Pressing in and going farther. So I tried to ask the Lord, now, how can we apply that to ourselves? And going a little farther. Going a little farther, he knew what lay ahead, and he knew it would be a great test of his resolve to do what was necessary to accomplish something, to accomplish redeeming human beings from the clutches of sin and guilt and Satan's will and eventual destruction. So Jesus knew what he had to have the resolve to accomplish. For the joy that was set before him, enduring the cross, despising the shame of it, he looked and saw what was ahead. For the joy that was set before him, of knowing that there would be people who believed and trusted and would be born again and would come to the Father and would be set free from their sin of and the guilt on their life and the destruction that would be in their future. Jesus knew that joy of saying, yes, there will be many who will believe and be set free, and I will do what it takes to obey the Father for that to happen. So he overcame sleep and went a little farther. He went further in yieldingness to deal with the overwhelming sorrow in his soul. He went further because he could know that there would come the results that were needed. He went further with a love for us and for all throughout the world who were in need of a Savior and a Redeemer. So we cannot go far enough in prayer until we also fully surrender to the will of the Father. Knowing the will of the Father comes first from knowing His words to us. Somebody preached the word to me named Reverend Hudnall when I was 7 years old. And for that moment, that night, in that revival at Holly Hill Pentecostal Holiness Church, 2 miles out in the country outside of Vanceboro, North Carolina. Don't you feel educated now? When Reverend Hudnall got to the end of that message, I wanted to be sure that that my soul was right with God. If there's anyone here tonight that has any question about that, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. There is cleansing tonight. There is freedom tonight. He sets the oppressed free. He breaks the yoke of bondage. And so the Word of God made real into our hearts, we find that the will of God is to give us a future and a hope, a blessing in our future. And we commit ourselves to Him and trust in Him for His will to be done. So, Father, Your will be done, we pray, with the Lord Jesus. And we make those steps. We took those first steps. We're still taking those steps that say, yes, Lord, to Your will, fully surrendering our will to the will of the Father. Just 3 things briefly, then in closing, that stood out to me about the written will. And these just flooded my heart, and I didn't look up where they were found. I just knew the Lord was saying, be reminded. The psalmist said, early will I seek Thee. Early in life, early in the morning, early in any circumstance that begins to make you sorrowful and troubled, early will I seek You, Lord. And the psalmist found there was joy in the presence of the Lord, fullness of joy. Early will I seek You, Lord. Then seek You first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I remember as a teenager having to make the decision, would I really believe that or not? And when my high school counselors in my junior and senior year were doing all they could to influence me to go to Duke University, I still sought the Lord, and God sent someone into my path who had attended Duke Divinity School, was a Spirit-filled Methodist, and he sat in our home, and he said, well, if you really want God to lead you into the Pentecostal ministry, Spirit-filled, full gospel ministry, why don't you go to a school that the professors believe the Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of God? And for some reason, I took that as a signal from the Lord and came to Evangel and took the Bible degree. And the rest is an open book now of how the Lord led me to meet Glenda and to have opportunities through Evangel of ministry and music and sharing, and eventually coming back to be on the staff for those 15 years. And as I look back on it, those choices and those decisions when I was a teenager is what were necessary to for the rest of it to happen. So, you know, without us saying that we wish we'd made that any of us in here tonight would want to say, well, I wish I had made different choices as a teenager. Don't worry about it now. You're on a journey now that is so filled with anticipation and expectation. Don't you look back. You just thank God for the present moment and the will of the Lord for you, and see how the Lord leads, and seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and you'll find that His supply is enough, and you'll be satisfied, and you'll be fulfilled with what He brings into your life, and it'll be good. And then the third thing was, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And I did go to James chapter 1 and just review that, because, you know, it says, He will give generously to all who ask Him for wisdom without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Now, that's the NIV. I know some would prefer the King James on that, and I probably do too. And ask for wisdom, and he upbraideth not, in words like that. Well, this maybe this helps me understand it better. He gives generously without finding fault. At any rate, it says you can expect God to give you wisdom generously. And wisdom goes on to be described another chapter or two later in James. Wisdom from above that is first pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated and full of mercy and good works. And maybe there's one more thing there I missed, but you get the general idea. There is a peace in the wisdom that God gives. Another scripture that says, let the peace of God guard your hearts and minds through our Lord Jesus Christ, not being anxious over things. Friends, the Lord tonight is just saying, when Jesus went further, He's calling us to go further too. If you're missing out on peace right now, if you're missing out on fulfillment and God's supply and what God's doing, go a little further. Maybe get on their face before the Lord and thank God for that 24-hour prayer chain. Dr. Burnett mentioned it again Sunday morning, and it's real. It helps. There is an uplift. There's an undergirding. Pastor Jim has talked about it before. I'm telling you, I don't think there's been a day in the last 5 years that I haven't felt that effect of the prayers of the Lord's people in Central Assembly. And Pastor Don, you'll feel it. You'll know it. You and Miss Deborah, there is that undergirding. Praise the Lord. And we're thankful for that. Pressing a little further, going a little further, falling on the ground at times when we are burdened or need God's special help. And He's the same tonight. Amen? Amen. Shall we stand together and look to the Lord? And we just would pray right now together. Lord, we just seek to obey You tonight and what You're saying in Your example. And we would go further in You, Lord, and with You. And we thank You for going all the way to the cross of giving Your life for us. And we thank You for going all the way for our salvation. And we pray tonight for Your continued help in our lives to do Your will and yield our will to You. And we do that tonight. Your will that can overcome our will. Your will that is good. And we thank You, Lord. Perfect love casteth out all fear, and we know tonight You love us perfectly. And we thank You for Your love and Your peace. Hallelujah. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down.